Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, and it's another special. Woo-hoo! Today's conversation is with Joe Wicks, who's better known as the body coach. I first became aware of Joe when I started following him on Instagram, and he just used to do these funny little videos, and I loved him, and I just thought he was funny, and he was nice, and he's just, from there, I've just watched his career.
It's been exponential.
It's unbelievable. He's got a little empire running now. He's got everything. He sells whey protein. He goes on. He's done 7 books now. Sold over 3 million.
3 million copies, he was saying.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So he's doing really well. And he's also, what's so lovely, he's just still a lovely bloke.
From what I saw today, I've never met him before. Yeah, no, you have. From what I saw today, he seemed very, you know, and when he said, it was actually surprising when he said 3 million books, because he doesn't talk about that sort of element of it, does he really?
He's
enjoying it is the main thing.
He's a lovely guy, and he's enjoying it, and he's very successful, and he speaks really wisely about health and exercise. So if you're interested in getting fit or losing weight, then it's well worth listening to this podcast. He's got wise views on how to do it as well, and I think that's due to that's why he's been so successful. We also discuss the commercial aspect of his job as well, and we discuss sponsors, and this is a good time for us to talk about our sponsors, because we're always on
link.
Well, the reason why I'm doing it that way is because we're always unsure about it, aren't we? We've done this podcast, how many episodes? Over 100 episodes, and we've never had sponsors, and now we're sort of engaging sponsors, and we're just trying to make sure it's all right. But we do like the brands we're sponsored by. We're first of all sponsored by Cooker, spelt Quooker, pronounced Cooker, the hot water taps, which I absolutely love. I will speak more about that during the podcast. And also we're sponsored by Beer 52, who, as I say, I know the guy who owns it. He's a fantastic fella. And it's another good product, because it's not, hey, let's go and get drunk. It's actual beautiful beers that they handpick for you from around the world. This month it's Korean month again.
Yeah, it's not like a 24 pack, is it? What you get is like hand selected, sort of like a selection of unusual beers.
I'm holding one in my hand here called Wild Wave Brewing Brown. What's the one you've got there?
Daydream. It's a Magpie Brewing Company, and it's a tropical, silky, balanced 4.5%, which is a good...
And what does that one say?
From here? Come on, come off it.
Well, it's in Korean, so I don't think you're going to understand
it. At the bottom it says Sushang Pale Ale, is that right? Is that how I'm pronouncing that correctly?
Songshu.
I can't say from here.
Songshu Dong Pale Ale, 4.8. Anyway, let's open that while I do the reads.
Okay, so this is the Daydream Magpie Brewing Company.
Yeah, Beer 52 is the world's most popular monthly craft beer discovery club, searching out incredible and exclusive small batch craft beers from the world's greatest breweries and bringing them back to their members. This month's beers have all come all the way from Korea. So there's lots there. As a listener to the show, you can try out the first case for free. You just pay £5.95 postage, and you get 8 craft beers. You get the Ferment magazine, which is a magazine all about the beers, and you get a snack delivered next day shipping. That's all you have to do. So it's beer52.com/lovejoy, beer spelled B-E-E-R, 52 as in the number, .com/lovejoy. So the way this works is you don't have to get involved in the contract at all to get them sent every month, but you will pay £5.95 for the postage and package. You'll get sent 8 beers, and then if you want to cancel it and never have any more, that's fine. If you want to carry on, you can carry on with the subscription. That's the way it works. So for £6, you're getting 8 beers from around the world. The thing I like about it is it's like doing how I do in my day job when I'm on TV. It's like just tasting little bits of beer from around the world.
And you can't get these sort of things in the shops. And if you were, you bought these separately, they're sort of £2 or £3 each, aren't they, for a can, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a really good... Tim, smell that first before you drink it.
Oh, that smells good. Daydream Magpie Brewery Company. What is it? What sort of beer is it? Oh, it's absolutely delicious, Mark. You're going to like that a lot.
Is it going to turn my day?
Yeah, you're going to bed about 4 a.m. Right, beer52.com/lovejoy if you want to claim that beer, as in B-E.
Oh my word.
B-E-R 52 the number .com/lovejoy. Okay, and if you want to go, yeah, that's the way to do it. So go to that. Right, are you ready for this podcast? It's really good. It's with Joe Wicks, better known as the Body Coach. Here he is.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Joe, welcome to my kitchen. Thank you so much for coming in. Like all my guests, I bought you a present. I bought you something which I thought was healthy. I buy a lot of people alcohol. Do you drink, by the way?
I do. I'm a big gin fan at the moment.
Well, are you? Well, yeah. I haven't bought you gin. I bought you apple cider vinegar because everyone keeps telling me that's the
thing. Oh, it's not. I thought you might have had a bottle of kombucha. I've never had that. But yeah, this is one of those things. Everyone always asks me, "Is it going to help with fat loss?" But apparently, it's good for the gut, isn't it? The
I don't know.
Digestive system.
I don't know. I thought you could tell me.
Willie's apple cider vinegar sounds great.
Wait, do you like kombucha?
I tried it for the first time. I went to Ireland to meet these guys called the Happy Pair. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah, I have.
Two
yeah.
twin brothers. Yeah. They're really awesome. They've got this lovely cafe, and they make all their own pesto, and it's all vegan. They got this kombucha, and he poured it straight out from the drum, so all the kind of, you know, like the bacteria
sediment.
And
right.
I had a proper hardcore. It's super strong, but I didn't really enjoy it. But yeah, maybe I just took the wrong dose of it. It's too strong.
I bought some for Ian Brody on here. It's kind of a weird taste, isn't it? But it's all that fermented stuff everyone bangs on about all the time. Are you into that sort of thing at the moment? Doing the fermented kimchi and.
Personally, I'm not using it in cooking, but they say it's the forgotten food group. You know, we used to eat a lot of it back in the day, yeah. like sauerkraut and, you know, fermented veg, and now it's uncool, but I think it's making a resurgence, so who knows?
Well, we had Tim Spector on here, and he discussed, he's a guy who stuffs all about the microbiomes and things in the micro stuff in your gut and all that, and it's fascinating, but it's a minefield. But they've only just started discovering all about it, haven't they, and how we need the different varieties. But he's, like your recipes, which we'll talk about in a minute, variety is the best thing for all
yeah,
this stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I come from the kind of the theory of, you know, just get people just cooking healthy food at home
yeah.
and don't overthink it too much. I think there's a lot of stress on, you know, what diet to have and fat burners and all these meal replacements. But ultimately, I just believe in simple, like regular workouts at home and just healthy home-cooked food just to get people going.
Mate, I keep getting obsessed with little things. Like, it's interesting because you've mentioned recently you've been doing the cold showers. How many of those have you done?
That I've been doing that. So I listen to like Tim Ferriss and Tony Robbins, yeah. and I always hear about them doing the cold water immersion. And
yeah.
basically, I went to Ireland and met the boys, and I went in the Irish Sea. It was yeah. 7 degrees. It was freezing. But when I came out, I had this crazy kind of euphoric sense of just like energy and alertness. So I thought, I ain't anywhere near the sea. I'm not going to go to Brighton for the day. So I turned the cold shower and ran it for a minute. And it's painful. It's so cold on your head. It gives you a headache.
Yeah.
But when you get out and you just go straight from cold, put a towel on, it's great. I mean, I've done it about
Honestly.
4 days in a row.
I'm obsessed with it. I've been doing it for months now.
How long do you last?
Well, I don't time myself, but I can just go and go until I start hurting and go numb, basically. But I had someone on Sunday brunch who was discussing it with me, and breathing as well. And he said, you've got to get it so you're controlling your breathing.
Yeah.
And so I go in, and then, because initially you're like, because it's so cold, isn't it?
Oh, it takes your breath away, yeah.
Yeah, and then you get your body, and then you feel
I just lean
relaxed.
Against the wall. I stand against the wall and just do, yeah, take really deep breaths through the nose, in for the nose, out for the nose, and it's incredible. But yeah, like, it's not for everyone, but I just think it's breaking your
amazing.
It's breaking your routine of getting up and having a warm shower, and it. If you need a little alertness, I don't know, I'm finding it really beneficial.
Have you heard of Wim Hof?
The Iceman, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I've heard about the breathing and all that sort
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, so he came on this podcast. You two should get together at some stage and make one of your films for YouTube, because he's brilliant. You'd love him and he'd love you. But that was initially what he did. He was walking past a canal one day, jumped in, and like you, got out and went, oh my God, this is it. This is life-changing. And now he reckons the science behind it. We've done the whole podcast if you want to listen to it sometimes. But the science behind it is absolutely proving that these cold showers are really good for you mentally, physically, everything.
So yeah, I mean, he's hardcore. He does like, doesn't he drop his heart rate to like
he's unbelievable,
30
yeah.
beats a minute or
yeah, but when he comes on here, he's just brilliant. Because he's like, remember to breathe, motherfuckers. And so he's a really funny guy.
I'll have to check him. Yeah,
and
I've
he's like you. He believes enjoying life as well. So he has a few beers, he has pasta, he has, you know, and then he does does all this stuff.
Is he
as
in
well.
Good shape? Is he like lean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, really ripped.
Yeah, yeah. He's not really ripped. He's in good shape, and he's you know, walking up and down mountains.
I'll listen to that one. Yeah, I'll go back and check
him. And how are you getting on with the guitar? Are you proficient at it? Because I was see you were learning some more chords the other day or something.
I brought an electric guitar for Christmas, and I've just become obsessed. Like, I've had an acoustic guitar for about 5 years, picked it up now and again, but never really got into it. And so I thought, right, I'm going to treat myself. I've got a Fender Strat because it's just a beautiful guitar.
Beautiful.
And I've been doing these like online videos, and I'm addicted. Like, I'm playing about 1 or 2 hours a day, and it's amazing how quick you can learn. So that time, which would normally be screen time on my phone or Netflix or sitting there watching some pointless TV or scrolling through my Instagram, I'm putting it to something productive. And it's such an amazing sense of achievement to be learning an instrument. It's for no one else. It's not for, you know, it's not for an audience, not for anyone. It's just for me to be learning something. I love it. So I highly recommend, if you've ever dreamt or thought about picking up an instrument, you know, go for it, because you might surprise yourself.
I've tried to learn so many times, though. It's so funny because I'm so bad at it. But I did try and learn. And then I was sitting there one day thinking, what am I going to do once I've learned how to do it? I'm never going to play anywhere. I'm never going to do anything. So I just gave up.
No, but
it's
so relaxing. I play guitar.
You're,
you know,
good though.
In front of Indy, and you know, she falls asleep. But again, it's just like, you might never use it publicly, but just to know you can play at home or play with some friends if they come around at Christmas and play a little Christmas tune or whatever. It's just, I definitely get back on it, and maybe have a couple of lessons as well.
The meaning to life, apparently, is to have, well, one of the meanings of life is you have three hobbies to have a good life. So you need one to make money, one for fitness. You seem to be combining both of those. And one to be creative. Is the guitar the creative thing, do you think?
That's a really good statement, actually. You're right, because you know, through fitness we can feel confident and happy and productive, and through creativity, like, yeah, it's just that thing of learning. Like, even if it's, I sit there, my girlfriend's getting a bit wound up because I've now got another woman in my life, which is a guitar. I've got her and Indy, so I'll come home, I want to spend time with them, but every time I get a bit of free time now, rather than watch a Netflix series and binge on that, I'm in my living room playing a guitar, like, over and over. I play a scale just over and over. And I look at the clock and it's like 1 a.m. and she's like, you said you were coming to bed an hour ago, and she gets really wound up. So I'm having to ration my time.
Yeah.
Because I'm an all or nothing kind of personality. So when I pick something up or when I'm doing something, I want to just do it, you know, obsessively do it a lot. Yeah. You know, it's a sort of, I suppose it's similar exercise. I love it and I want to do it every day. And
by the way, Indy, you keep talking about your beautiful little daughter. She's stunning, isn't she? And you're doing your, if anyone doesn't know, Joe's very famous for his lean in 15 recipes. He's doing his wean in 15 at the moment, where you're getting her on solids.
Yeah, Nicky, my brother Nicky had an idea a couple of years ago. He said, when you've got to do a baby book one day and call it wean in 15. And we laughed about it and said, yeah, good idea. Anyway, my publisher's like, why don't you do it? You know, she said it's a good idea. So I'm having a year off this year from books, because I've done 7 books in 3 years, which is pretty intense. I'm going to, you know, let the audience breathe and have a little bit of time away from me. But my next book's a baby and toddler recipe book. So, because I think it's so important to get them kids eating healthy from a young age.
Oh, definitely.
It's going to change their palate, what they're like as adults. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I love it. Because you are posting stuff for Indy on Instagram and stuff. And I was looking at a few actually just today before you came over, and some beautiful ones of you trying to get her to eat broccoli as her first ever solid foods. Did she ever get stuck into
that? She throws them on the floor and she makes the right mess. But they say it's just like food before wine is just for fun. They're just playing. So they get all their nutrients from the milk anyway. So it's just like trying different things, different textures. But yeah, not being frightened of giving them finger food. It's good to kind of give them a finger food, then give them like a pureed version of it, so they can have a bit on the spoon. But it's really fun, and I'm sharing all the funny faces she pulls. It's hilarious.
And there's this brilliant bit with Rosie as eating a wrap, and she's desperately trying to open her mouth to eat it.
Oh, that's actually someone else. It's an internet meme. Like, oh, I basically rebranded.
It's another lady eating
a breakfast, a burrito or something, and the baby just like, you know, going for it, and he's like trying to savage
the brilliant.
And I shared it, and it's funny, isn't it? I work really hard on these recipes, get like 250,000 views. Yeah. That video got a million views.
Did it.
And like 10,000 comments, because people just love that meme life, don't they? They're just like, tag your friend and lol at this. And so, I don't want to be a meme account though.
Did you have to think hard about putting your fiance and your kid on Instagram and online?
Yeah, I was really, when I started going out with Rosie, I was very, quite private, and I wouldn't talk about it in interviews. But in the end, I was like, she's such a big part of my life that although she doesn't feature on Instagram all the time, I made the announcement that we were having a baby and we were engaged, because I thought, I can't live in the media and have this big online presence and not let my audience know that I've got a kid. It would be a bit strange. And I thought I was going to be really private. You know, some people like Fern, for example, Fern will like show her kids, but from the back, you never see their face, do you? And I thought I was going to kind of be like that. But in the end, I thought, it's difficult to live like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I post my
kids, and I've always thought, is it a good thing or a bad thing to do? But a wise man once told me, if you just live like normal people, when you move into the celebrity circle, that would make your life more healthier. So I just live like everybody else who does post their kids and does all that sort of stuff. And I don't try and hide it all and pretend I'm different from everybody else. I don't know whether it's the right thing to do or not.
Yeah, at the moment she's so little, so it's like, it's okay. But I suppose when she's older, I think, is she going to be recognised? When will she be treated differently at nursery? I don't know. I'm not too sure. But at the moment I'm sharing a few things, but maybe when she's a little bit older, I might give her a choice and say, do you want to be on my Instagram and stuff?
My 17-year-old daughters have gone the other way, where I take pictures of them and I go to post and they say, you dare put that on. You need to get permission off me if you want to post anything.
You need approval first.
Yeah, they want approval for everything. I'm like, they're nearly 17 now and they just become...
They're not like, tag me, get me some followers and all that.
Well, that's what I think, because I can get you some more followers here, girl. I keep on telling them they should do, they're twins. And they're fascinated by things like movies and books and stuff like that. And I keep saying to them, you should start doing some blogs and stuff and just make it, have some fun. And, you know, and I don't know, they're just not that interested. Now, the time that I met you, the first time I became aware of you, sorry, was through your little videos, your Leaning 15. And what struck me, which I think I liked so much about you, was I thought diets were becoming impossible for people. And I've always thought about what I eat and I'm always healthily, but I've never had to go on one of these like huge diets to lose 3 or 4 stone or something. And what I was fascinated about, you were going, here's burger, here's a steak, here's some fish, here's some rice. And everyone else's diets seemed to be like really boring and horrible. And suddenly yours were really lively and you could eat what the hell you wanted to do and you had results from it. How did you get to that position where you were putting those on?
I think the reason my brand online has grown and my message and philosophy has reached millions of people out through the cookbooks and Instagram is because it's a simple message. And people, it's really confusing and difficult enough when there's all these diets and there's all these, you know, keto, low carb, low fat, you know, count calories, track macros. And I don't live like that. I have no idea how many calories I eat. I have no idea how many grams of fat and carbs I eat. I just believe that if you exercise regularly and you put in some good effort in terms of your exercise and your movement, and you focus on cooking at home, which is obviously removing the processed foods, the takeaways, the ready meals, as a natural byproduct, you will end up in a calorie deficit and you'll get a bit leaner. And so that's a really simple measure that people just connect with. And the fact that you can make a homemade burger or a nice Thai green curry, it's not like, you know, like you said, low carb, zero fat, which most diets are based on, you know, big popular diets where they'll be low fat and it's about weighing yourself every week. And I say, you know, consume healthy fats. Your body needs essential fatty acids and it's going to make you feel fuller. And don't weigh yourself. I call it the sad step. I call the scales the sad step. Because it is. It's like you shouldn't live your life just weighing yourself. Whereas taking sort of progress pictures and seeing real, and also focusing not even on the physical, but more like the emotional, the mental side of it. Not enough people talk about how exercise makes you feel. So my message now is really exercise to make yourself feel good and feel happier. And if you continue to tune into that, as opposed to, I need to lose a certain amount of weight or look a certain way for a wedding or a party, that's not going to motivate you all year round.
Yeah, it's about changing your life, isn't it? And what your videos were doing, lifestyle, I mean, and what your videos were doing was just making it look fun. So your cooking's fun because your little videos are fun. Little, that sounds patronizing, but they're little as in short.
Yeah, 15 seconds. Yeah, and that was initially in Instagram video was only 15 seconds. Yeah. So I took a 15-second video and showed how to cook a 15-minute meal and I called it Leaning 15.
Yeah.
And I think it was just the right idea at the right time because people's attention span, even now it's smaller. You probably got 3 seconds now.
Yeah.
But I took there's all this noise, all this confusion and I just showed people every day how to make a healthy recipe. And that's all it takes. So I'm not the best trainer in the world. I'm not the most intelligent, you know, sports scientist and nutritionist, but I'm good at inspiring people. Yeah. I can just make people feel like that's possible, that's doable. And he's still out having a gin and tonic and a burger this weekend, but he's still fit and healthy and he's living a lifestyle. So that's how I've had my success.
And you were like leaning out your flat window, shouting at passers-by and stuff.
Yeah, I do miss those days.
And it was funny. It was like, I was watching your videos thinking, A, the food looks good, and B, it's funny. What did you feel when people started imitating your things and started some videos and sending their own versions in? I mean, that's the ultimate compliment.
That's when I realised I was kind of onto something, you know, because when I started Instagram, I had no vision for building a brand or having a book deal. Like, it wasn't around. Like, there wasn't even influencer marketing money flying around. It was just, I just love sharing recipes. So when I started to do it, I was doing breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. I was still working as a personal trainer and running boot camps. So I was working really hard. But I realised when people started saying, and that right there is leaning 15 or in with a Lucy B, you know, all these things that I'd really started to make people laugh, essentially. And that's why they were coming back and consuming the content. And then because of that commitment to my content, which is all free, people were like, I know if I come back to his Instagram tomorrow, there's going to be a recipe that's going to inspire me or make me laugh. Those days of hanging out the window were my most fun because there was no money behind it. There was no machine. It was just like me having fun and being silly and trying to get a reaction off like the traffic warden that would walk past. And so, it was just an idea that I just had passionate and I just loved and was just, you know, people always say, did you have a vision for what you were going to achieve? And I said, all I thought I was going to do was have a few boot camps. That was my goal.
Yeah. Chris Evans, the DJ, once said to me, the journey to make it is more fun than when you've actually made it. And I wonder why why he's now gone off to do Virgin again, because he enjoys the journey to the success and he's pretty good at doing that. But that scene with you, what you would do, you just looked like you were having so much fun leaning out your window and little trees and all that sort of stuff. And it just seemed like glory days for you.
I think people were drawn to, like, if you're enthusiastic and passionate and positive and always having fun and looking like you're having a good time, people are drawn to that. You know, if you're in a club and you're on a dance floor and you're having loads of fun, people want to be around that person.
Yeah.
It's the same thing online. I just used my personality. I was just completely myself and people came. And then when I finally obviously had a book or something they could support, then that's why the book's gone mad. You know, I've just sold 3 million books now. So
wow.
It's like phenomenal. I always sort of forget how many books that is, but that's so many people in the UK. And it all started from, you know, that idea in the kitchen with my phone. So I always think if I listened to people saying, you're annoying, your videos are crap, why are you doing it? Go back to your boot camp. So I never would have, you know, reached the people I have. And that did happen.
Did you get any of that though? Did you?
Yeah. I had friends, you know, even close friends like, you're so busy on Instagram. What are you doing? Get back to your boot camp. You're being a plonker and stuff. But I just believed in what I was doing and just kept doing it. And so that's...
Tell us about your boot camp, because I listened to a good thing the other day. You were talking at a university. Which university were you at?
I went to St. Mary's in Twickenham.
Right.
And I got invited back to do their graduation speech, the keynote speech. And I was a bit like, wow, this is a real honour. I can't write anything down because I know I'll just read from it and I'll be really nervous. And whenever I tell my story, at the same moment I describe, I always feel emotional.
Right.
When I talk about the journey... I lived with my dad. I borrowed like a couple of grand off him to buy some equipment, so some kettlebells and boxing pads. And I used to cycle from my dad's flat in Surbiton at like 6 a.m. Well, it's more before 6, about 5:30, with a little trailer on my bike because I couldn't afford a van.
Yeah.
And I'd cycle all the way to Richmond to Old Deer Park. And I'd set up and I'd drag it all out. I'd get all the kettlebells out, the battle rope around the tree, like the TRX hanging. I'd have all the stations lined out because in my head I thought, you know, a big group of people are going to turn up. And sometimes there'd be, you know, one or two, or most mornings there's no one there. And rather than giving up, I thought, right, how can I, you know, persevere and build my business? So I'd stand outside Richmond Station giving out flyers. And I think people forget that. They don't see that journey. They think I've just had this success and I've sold all these books. But it's an 8-year success story. And I've really worked hard. And I like sharing that because there's so many people out there now wanting to launch businesses or starting new things. And I'm just one of these people that I really believe in self-belief and hard work. Mm. And too many people give up too soon and sort of just stick to what they know and stay in their lane and they're fearful that they're going to fail. But I would have failed within the first 6 months if I'd stopped.
I've just had a flashback to when I found you knocking about on the internet. And I remember thinking you were really established the first time I ever saw you, which was years ago. So you clearly weren't. I think it was confidence. I think that's what you have, is this great confidence. I know what I'm doing. You eat my food, you go on my diets, you're going to feel better about your life. And I think that's really something that it's easy to buy into.
Yeah, my personality and the character, I kind of built a character. Like, I'm not that confident and that kind of leery in real life. I'm quiet. This is probably me, like, being myself. But on Instagram, I was a bit hyperactive, a bit kind of, you know, just super energized every morning, bouncing out the window and running down the stairs. But people love that. They like that kind of energy. So I use that. I'm a little bit more tame now with the videos. I still do the shouting and the you know, in with the midget trees and that. But I've definitely evolved and grown.
I called
up
them small trees earlier, didn't I? Rather than midget
small
trees.
Trees. I've been told off for saying midget trees. So
have you?
I've got to say small trees or tiny trees.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm always asked the question.
That's broccoli, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know what he's talking
about.
That's
the broccoli.
Yeah.
I'm always asked the question, you know, why did you stand out amongst millions of trainers and millions of people online? And I think it was just personality, really, just because And it was, I was probably one of the last genuinely authentic people to come through social media, because now people see me and they go, right, I want to get a following, I want to get brand deals, I don't want to work in an office, I want to sell online plans. Yeah. And so now it's like people are seeing it as a business and an opportunity, it's a career, you know, being an influencer. But when I did it, there was no people getting book deals, you know, from Instagram. There was no, you know, like I said, all these brands wanting you to promote stuff. So I definitely feel like, and it was easy to grow back then. When I started, there was 300 million people on Instagram. There's now a billion. So it's even busier to stand out and to grow. And it's, you know, the algorithm changes, it slows down. But I definitely had the right idea at the right time. But if I started today with the exact same videos, the exact same personality, in the exact same place, I would have nowhere near the success that I've had now.
I think that goes for everyone. I always say about my TV career, I arrived at TV without any... I should never have made it on TV. And a lot of people say, agree with me. But I should have never made it. I arrived just when TV was exploding. It went from, you know, 3 channels to 4 channels. Then the 5th channel came along. Satellite was happening.
70s, 80s?
Oh, yes. It's back in the 60s. Thanks, Joe. And so I'm like, the thing's exploding. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And then Sky Sports came along and they knew I liked football. And I got the job there and blah, blah, blah. And, the story is it's literally that often. Right place, right time.
Bit of timing, yeah. Bit of timing, bit of luck and just passion and your ability to connect. Like, your ability to connect with people through TV is like my ability to connect with people through social media.
Yeah, and the other thing though, I did with exactly the same as you, standing there giving out leaflets. I was always first in, last out, make everyone coffee. So, you know, just make sure you work your nuts off if you get an opportunity.
Yeah, and be nice to the people you work with. Yeah, it makes a big... And in the TV industry, you just hear rumours of people that are nasty and that you think, how are they, you know, so successful? But I think the people that have good reputations are the ones that are nice to people and are kind and supportive and, you know... Yeah, have a good reputation.
You can always tell when a band comes back. You know, when a band split up, any sort of band, pop band or proper band, when they come back and they reform and they decide to do more gigs, the ones that work are the ones who are nice. Because when they were nice first time round, they say we're coming back and everyone goes, yeah, we'll book you.
Yeah.
Because they know they're going to have nice people. And it's always the same thing. All the nice guys and girls manage to make it the second time round, which is
just good people, basically.
How it is. Now, the way you're... Talk us through your principles on exercise, because generally HIIT training you think is important, or what do you think?
The reason I promote HIIT so much is because people are just short on time. So, you know, people have less time, they don't necessarily want to get to the gym, financially they might not be able to afford a personal trainer. So I'm a massive fan of home workouts, and I think the future of fitness is going to be home workouts, whether that's a HIIT class or, you know, an at-home yoga. There's so many platforms now, like online platforms that are kind of, you know, they're trying to be the Netflix of fitness. But the reason I really get an amazing kind of I get really fit and lean from doing HIIT, but also the post-workout kind of endorphin rush I get from it is more than just a low intensity sort of cardio session. So I believe in like 15, 20 minute to 25 minute workouts every day is more beneficial than doing a 1 hour gym session on a Saturday morning with a PT, because you need that regular benefit of exercise and the effect. But like I said, I've got 16 year old kids doing my workouts. I've got school kids, I'm doing a lot of school fitness stuff now. And I've also got 65, 70 year old, you know, men and women trying out things at home. I've got the low impact stuff. But ultimately, there's no perfect fitness for everyone. There's no perfect kind of routine. It's whatever you enjoy and what you can repeat and sustain.
I think once you start getting into it as well, it becomes a habit, doesn't it? But it's really hard the first couple of sessions back when I've been injured or something. Then when you start getting into it, it's suddenly you want to do it every day. We've got to explain quickly what HIIT is. It's high intensity interval training. How do you? What's the perfect way of doing it? I know there's probably not a perfect way, but what are your thoughts?
So yeah, high intensity interval training involves like short bursts of effort followed by a rest period. So let's say you were going to do it on a cardio machine, like a treadmill, a spin bike or a rowing machine. You just basically go 100% like full effort for say 30 seconds. So maximum resistance, speed, whatever you got to do to get your heart rate to near maximum. And then you maybe rest for say a minute. And so you drop your heart rate, you recover, and then you go again. And I do it for about 15 to 20 rounds. And the kind of science behind it is that, you know, apparently so after the session's done, you've got this kind of post-calorie, like burning post, they call it EPOC, which is basically means you're burning calories long after the workout's finished. And I just believe it, you know, it's something you can do at home with no equipment. So that's obviously with a machine, but if you're doing it at home, you can do basic things like running on the spot, squats, press-ups, burpees, lunge jumps, mountain climbers. So you can have a really fit, lean physique just with your body weight.
Do you know Roger Bannister, who broke the 4 minute mile, that he used to, the way he trained for it was he could only train in his lunch breaks. So he used to go up and he used to, this, I might be making this up by the way, you'll have to check this, but I think he used to run 400 meters as fast as he could wait till he got his breath back, run 400 metres again as fast as he could, for as much as he could in half an hour, then go back to his job. And that's how he did it, which is basically HIIT training, isn't
it? Yeah, it's just classic interval training. Yeah. So interval training is like, you could do low intensity interval training, but HIIT is like max effort. Because you're only going to, think about it, if you're doing a 20 minute workout and you're doing, say, 30 seconds on, 30 seconds rest, you're only actually working out for 10 minutes. So you've got to think, right, I'm doing 10 minutes of effort. How can I get the most out of this session? And you've got to be going hard. Like, you know, you can't be plodding along and be like, oh, you know, this could be harder. You've got to really give it some. And in doing that, that's when you get the results.
What do you think is more important, the exercise or the diet?
Everyone's looking for like a golden percentage, you know, 80-20 and all this. But exercising is going to do so many things in terms of your energy. You're going to sleep better. You're going to feel more confident, you know, positive, productive. You're going to have a better day. You're going to enjoy life. And that's also linked to sleep. You're going to sleep better. But really what fuels us is our food and our nutrition. So I would say more than anything in the world, nutrition is the most important thing. You know, exercise is so important as well. But the food we put in, it determines how, you know, we digest food, what we absorb, how much energy we have. Because you've got two extremes. You can be on a really, really low calorie diet, not getting enough food, and just feeling really lethargic and run down. And you've got, you know, the other end where you're eating way too much, you know, processed foods, like heavily, you know, sugars and carbohydrates that are going to zap your energy. You've got to find that sweet spot in the middle where you can still enjoy a few treats, but you're just fueling your body, like in line with your energy demand. Mm. So if you're really active, if you're like, you know, a labourer, you're on a building site and you're exercising, you can eat more food than someone who's sitting on their desk all day. So we're all very unique. But I honestly believe that food is the key to kind of true health and happiness, and then exercise is just a bonus.
And you're a big fan of people prepping food as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I live by the principle, prep like a boss, which is a little phrase of mine. And I've got it on my little spatulas and stuff. But yeah, it's just getting organized, because if you don't prep your meals, if you don't make, whether it's your overnight oats or your omelette or your, you know, your salad or your curry for the next night, then who is going to make it? You're going to have to rely on either a restaurant and you don't know how it's cooked, or processed, ready, convenience food that's, you know, not got the greatest nutritional value. So just by doing that one habit, which is, I'm going to make a chili con carne, but I'm going to make it for 5 days and put it in the fridge or freeze it, or I'm going to make some overnight oats and make 3 days worth. That means you wake up, you can do your workout, walk to the fridge, you pull it out, put some berries on it, and your breakfast is there. And that's the real kind of key to success and sustaining a healthy body all year round. Because otherwise, like I said, you're going to get ready meals, you're going to get super hungry, you're going to grab a meal deal and some crisps and a sandwich. And I just think it seems like, oh, it's such an effort, but really it's just going back to basics, like what my grandparents would do. They would cook at home before there was fast food chains.
It was so bizarre when I started doing Sunday brunch with Simon Rimmer. Before that, I did something for the weekend, and we started getting all these chefs on and stuff. And I could cook anyway, but I would sometimes have ready meals and things like that, like a lot of people do. And then I realized how easy it all was to make. And, you know, making a pesto sauce is so easy. Making any sauce for a bolognese or a curry or anything, there's this pretty simple stuff, isn't it, really? And then, so now I've never eaten any of that pre-made food in years. I'd never get a sauce out of a jar or anything like that. I would always just make it. And when I did have one not so long ago, it just tasted weird to me. It tasted a bit chemically. It didn't approach that process sort of thing to make it last a long time on a shelf.
Yeah, I grew up on that stuff, like dolmio sauces and frozen chicken pies. And because my mum didn't know what she's doing with food, and our diet was terrible. And even through uni, before I studied nutrition and kind of got into the fitness thing, I would rely on that sort of stuff, like, you know, microwave dinners and stuff. And you kind of get used to it, and you think that's normal to feel tired and sluggish and be bloated and run down. But, you know, once you get into the kitchen and start cooking your own version of the food you love, you'll see how much energy you get from it. And that for me is, I'm always asked, what motivates you to work out? If you asked when I was 18, it was, I want to have abs, I want to go to Ibiza and be lean and fit, and it's all about how I look. But now it's about how, I'm 33 and it's about how I feel. I want to wake up and have energy and be productive, and I want to work really hard all day and still have energy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's because of the food I eat.
How did you learn all about diet then?
I did a degree in sports science, so we touched on nutrition. But really my kind of real interest came when I was a personal trainer. I started to train clients and realized that they weren't changing. They weren't transforming because they just were sticking to the same diet.
Yeah.
Still boozing and drinking wine every night and turning up at my boot camp on a Saturday, stinking a beer. And I thought, the only way I'm going to really get these people fitter is if I can inspire them and influence their nutrition in some respect. So I read a lot of journals. I read a lot of books, followed a lot of other, you know, bloggers and Instagrammers and people that were putting out good content. then I just started to really understand the difference between, you know, fats and protein and carbs and why we need all three and why, you know, timing of certain nutrients is important. But and then there's all the other things like fasting and different kind of methods to get you leaner. But it was more like I tried it myself and I felt wicked and I'd got really good results and was just really lean. Then I would just kind of incorporate that into my online clients and my clients in real life.
What do you think of intermittent fasting? I'd do that.
I've done it myself. I've done the 16-8, so 16-hour fast.
Yeah.
And I would train at the very end of my fast and I felt amazing. I had this crazy like energy and you get super focused, don't you? And really, really clear energy and you work out and you feel amazing. But for me, it's just, I just like having three meals and it's just because of my lifestyle, I'm always moving about. I couldn't stick to it. But ultimately, the reason people lose weight when they're intermittent fasting is because they're eating less food. They're just squeezing their meals into a smaller window, which means they're reducing their total calorie intake. But yeah, it works for some people if you feel good.
I went from eating three meals a day to I sort of cut down to two. And then I started doing the intermittent fasting because I like testing myself because I do this podcast. I'm always doing this sort of stuff, the cold showers and all that. And I just found I've been doing it a little while now. And I was drinking coffee and I've just cut out the coffee now as well. So I'm literally doing nothing. So for anyone who doesn't know, you eat for 8 hours and you fast for 16. So I start eating at 12 and I'd finish at 8. And then, and I go through the whole day. And I just feel really good. I don't know why. I just feel really alive and I don't feel as hungry all the time. So it's fascinating. I don't do it every day, by the way.
Have you tried a 24-hour fast before?
Yeah.
I do that every few months just to sort of, just to get my, I don't know, my digestive system just kind of a little bit of a break. But I feel amazing.
Yeah, but you mentally it's hard, isn't it?
If you're thinking about food all day, but if like you said, if you just get on and crack on and you just do your work and get busy, but there's this, it's just hard to explain, but you get to the end of it and everything becomes clear. Your brain's kind of just running on the kind of energy in your body and your fat's starting to get metabolized and you just feel light. But that's not something I'd recommend all the time, but every few months, just give it a go. Just have a day where you just don't eat for 24 hours and see how you feel.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts recently where they say you should get hungry at some stage because that's a good thing, to be hungry and your body clearing itself out. I did 24-hour fast once, and the ridiculous thing is 3 minutes you can go without air, that's all. 3 days, what was it? 3 days without water.
And only 3 days without water?
Yeah, and 3 weeks without food. I was 24 hours, I was going... I did it once when I had a group when I worked on Soccer M. We all did it. We just decided one day to do it. By about 12 o'clock, most of them were having bacon sarnies and stuff. Going, I can't do this. I made it all the way through. But so many of us were just going, this is ridiculous. It's like, we've got to eat. We're so hungry. But
it's a mental challenge more than anything.
It's mental, yeah.
Like, you know, we have stored body fat. We have got energy. There's more energy in our body than you think. And if you're put into a situation where you have to survive on a desert island, you'd live,
three
you'd survive.
Weeks.
But it is a mental thing. But yeah, I definitely felt a benefit from it. I wouldn't do it all the time, but... I felt really good. I mean, I just felt euphoric, almost like euphoric. It's weird. It's hard to explain without doing it.
Yeah.
And the more you push it, I mean, I've had friends that have done like 2 or 3 day fast. That's a bit extreme for me, but
couldn't do that.
But I tell you what, the biggest mistake is when you hit 24 hours, you just go for the biggest meal and you bloat yourself out. You're supposed to have a light like introduction with some fruits and veg. Yeah. And I just went for like a massive curry or whatever it was.
The before and after pictures are really important for someone like you. Obviously, you get so many of these before and after pictures. They always look absolutely fantastic. How long was it before they started coming through? And did you have to request them or did people just offer them up?
So I was quite clever in the way I designed my online plan. So when you sign up to my online plan, you get a new training plan and a new meal plan each month. And in order to start, you send in your pictures. So like a starting submission, and you upload your weight and your height and all your information. Then at the end of each cycle, in order to get the next cycle, you have to post your transformation pics. And we don't share them unless they give us permission.
Yeah.
But it's so important, not from a marketing perspective for the plan, obviously it really helps, but for that individual who may not ever take photos of themselves because they really aren't happy with their body, to look back and see the results, the visual progress. That's why I say the scales, you can look amazingly different by the end of the plan and have lost a pound or, you know, gained a pound if you change your composition. And so this goes to everyone listening as well, like, don't focus on the weight and the number on the scales. Focus on before and after pictures because it really does show true change in your body and it will motivate you and inspire you. Go, that's how I used to be. Look what I've achieved and how will I look in 6 months. So the visual kind of element is really important for motivation.
Yeah, if you keep measuring yourself as in weight, you get anxious and anxiety because some days you won't lose anything or some weeks you won't lose anything. And then you start thinking, well, I've done all that, eaten healthily and done all that fitness. But things are changing in your body, aren't they?
Yeah, and if, you know, for example, like women during their menstrual cycle, like they retain a lot of water, so they look heavier. Or if you go and have a pizza and a beer the night before, the next day you're going to be holding a lot of water, because for every gram of carbohydrate your body holds, you can hold 4 grams of water. So you can look like a kilogram heavier, but there's no way you can gain a kilogram of body fat overnight.
Yeah.
Right? But that can cause a really negative effect, and then a deprivation day on calories, or a blowout, or a binge, or I'm going to just not exercise. So I really do, I think it is the sad step, because who cares what you weigh? You know, who picks you up and judges you on your weight? You know? No one gives you a hug and weighs you out. So just, it's not even, it's just the most insignificant measure.
I'm
going to
start
success.
Walking around and lifting people up. Well, yeah. Quite heavy today.
How much do you weigh? Yeah, it is one thing. A lot of, so career dieters, whether they're men or women that have done, you know, your yo-yo diets all year, some people weigh themselves multiple times a day and have done for 20 years. Imagine being and knowing that your mood is instantly affected by that, whether it's every Friday night or you go and weigh yourself at a club where you, you know, pay a fiver to a club and they weigh you in front of everyone publicly and say you're down 2 pounds or you're up 2 pounds. Like that whole thing is just really unfair.
Tell me about carbs. They're the evil, aren't they? Everyone always, well, they've got this reputation of being evil. No carbs before marbs and everything else. You know, what is your take on carbs?
So we get energy from three sources. They're called macronutrients, which is your fat, carbohydrates and protein. And carbohydrates just seem to be the first one that get cut out, because people assume that in order to lose fat, you need to cut out carbs. But they're a fuel source. You know, your brain needs carbohydrates, your muscles need carbohydrates to repair and replenish. It's kind of the initial like source of energy. So when you're doing high intensity exercise, your body is using mainly glycogen, which is stored carbohydrates. When you're doing more longer intensity, kind of long duration, your body will start to use fats, you know. So you're always using a combination of two. But if you're someone who's, you know, doing HIIT training and you do a really good workout or you're lifting weights, when you come out of the gym, you owe it to your body to replenish those carbohydrate stores. And so, you know, having a bowl of rice or a bowl of pasta, it's fine. Your body will love it. And it doesn't mean it's going to instantly turn to fat.
Right.
People think that carbs mean fat, and if you eat them, it's just going to bloat you out and just sit on your body as fat. But like I said, they're replenishing stores. It helps, you know, generate and build lean muscle. So cutting them out is just not sensible. And it's not really realistic, is it? It's kind of restrictive. Think about portion control. So I live by a kind of post-workout carbohydrate kind of lifestyle, which means if I have a rest day and I don't exercise, I'll have more fats and protein. If I do a workout and I'm training, I'll have a nice big bowl of carbohydrates, say with protein afterwards, and that's it. It's just kind of post-workout carbs to refuel, and for the remainder of the day, I'm eating fats and protein.
Okay, you've got, what do you say, 7 books out now? Is it a seven?
Yeah, so I've got 7 books in 3 years.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Because first of all, I got a 2-book deal,
yeah.
And then they were like, oh, do you want to do it? And when it went on to Amazon, it just smashed the pre-order, and they were like, wow, we need to do another book deal, so let's do the trilogy. And we turned it into the Shift, Shape and Sustain plan. We made like 3 books. And then, yeah, it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And they said, do you want to do a family and friends book and a cooking, you know, 30-minute meals book? But now I'm having a year off to have a little breather, and I'll release my next book next year.
But your last one, Veggie Lean in 15, you're talking a lot there about proteins and stuff. Is that a lot of beans in this? How are you getting your proteins and stuff in your veggie diet?
Yeah, Veggie Lean in 15 has just come out, and it's doing so well. I feel like it's just the perfect time for that book, because a couple of years ago, if you had sat to me and said, oh, will you do a veggie book? I would have been like, no chance. It's boring. You can't get enough protein. You're not going to build a lean muscle. But I wasn't educated, so I've done a lot of research. And, you know, the fact is, you're not going to get as much protein in your diet as if you had my first Lean in 15 book with a chicken and fish and all your eggs and stuff.
Yeah.
But you can still get enough protein and still be healthy. And there's still, you know, there's loads of vegan and vegetarian, you know, Instagrammers and fitness professionals who look amazing. So it's a case of combining. When you eat an animal protein source, it's a complete protein. You've got all the amino acids, so you know you're going to get it from eggs, chicken, fish. But when you're a veggie, you've got to combine all this stuff. So you can't just rely on quinoa and tofu, you know what I mean? You've got to be eating lentils, chickpeas, grains, vegetables. And when you combine them all in just a decent combination of recipes, then you're going to get all the amino acids and you can be fine and you can be healthy.
Isn't Tom Brady vegan? He just won the Super Bowl. Is he vegan, Tom Brady?
Oh, is he really? Yeah,
I don't know. Have I made that up?
There's a lot of athletes that are vegan. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's going that way, isn't it?
It's a massively trending thing now.
But you have to work, I suppose. I'm just going to try and look it up and see. But I suppose you have to work a little bit harder if you're not just going to eat eat meat, because is it a bit harder to get the proteins, or not? Is it easy?
Well, the thing that people struggle with as vegetarians, firstly, it can feel quite intimidating and difficult and a bit kind of, yeah, like, how are you going to make a veggie meal? What am I going to do? Is it just going to be tofu every day? And the fact is, you can make, I mean, I've realized that from making that book and just eating out in certain veggie restaurants and vegan restaurants in America, they've got a big, big movement over there. The food can be really, really wonderful, really tasty, and it's nourishing. You know, you don't need to be, it's more, I always explain this in the book, because I'm still eating meat. I love my meat, right? But it's the ritual of eating chicken and beef and fish that you kind of so used to having in a curry, or you're so used to having it with your lasagna or your shepherd's pie. But you can make really nice veggie curries.
Yeah.
Because all the flavors in the herbs, the spices and the veg. The chicken, if you think chicken ain't got a lot of flavor, it's the texture you're used to and just the fat that you're used to having the protein source. But when you remove it, you know, you're not fishing around going, oh, where's the chicken? Because, like I said, all the flavors in the veg and the way you roast things and add spices and whether it's nuts and seeds. So that book's doing really well. I thought it was going to do well, but the veggie market is growing. And I think the environmental thing, people are just more aware and more conscious.
I think it's funny, we have to change our mindset. My mum got some health issues, and she wanted to cut out, they told her to cut out some of the carbs, and she'd read about it. By the way, I think Tom Brady's on a vegetable-based diet.
So okay,
I think
that's so probably, veggie-based, yeah.
Probably means he's vegan-ish. She had to cut carbs. She couldn't get her head round eating food without carbs. We're so used to something in bread or something with chips or potatoes or rice or pasta. And the idea, you know, you look around the world, people, some nationalities eat fish for breakfast. I know we eat kippers.
Well, yeah.
People used to years ago. But the idea of sitting eating fish for most British people is like, oh, what? No, I'm not eating fish. You know, it's just getting your head around different ways of thinking about things, isn't it? That's kind of.
Yeah, people here are just so used to getting, whether it's a yogurt with berries and honey and granola, or it's a cereal box with milk on it. It's just like quick, you just pour it on, it's there. But you know, that's not going to give you energy. That's going to make, you know, they're all marketed in like good healthy breakfast and cereals and stuff, but they're just full of sugar, and within an hour you're gonna be hungry again. So having like a quick omelette with some feta cheese and some spinach, like, it will take you 2.5-3 minutes to make, and it's going to give you way more energy. It's just little swaps like that.
Can I quickly ask you about macros as well? I've always got very frustrated about this, because they always do your calculation, your macros. I have no idea what it means. And is it important for me to learn that stuff, really, for my diet?
Before, when I was a personal trainer in the early days, like, no one ever mentioned this thing of macros and what's your macro split and how many grams of this you need to have. It was like, it just wasn't around, but suddenly it became this big thing that you've got to track everything and use MyFitnessPal. And, you know, if you really want to do that, that's like, and you want to get ready for like a bodybuilding competition, you might need to know every single gram of this and that. But for the average person, what you need to think about is just the quality of the food you eat. So like the nutrients and the whole ingredients and you know, where you're getting your meat and your veg from, and just portion control. Because that effectively means calories, right? And what you're going to be in terms of how much energy you're getting. But you can burn fat eating carbs all day, or you could burn fat eating fats and protein all day. It just depends on, you've got this number in your head, which is your calorie intake roughly. It's just, you can break that down into whatever you want.
Yeah.
Protein should be the main thing. So protein should be in every meal, some form of protein, because that's a really essential part of the lean body and having a healthy body. And secondly, you know, a little bit of fats, because it's essential. So omega-3s, like getting some salmon, some nuts, avocados, cheese, butter in your diet, and then the rest of it, bit of carbs. You know, I have no idea what my split is. I wouldn't even be able to tell you. And I'm lean and healthy because of my lifestyle, because I exercise and I eat well, cook at home, but I still have a GBK or a Nando's every now and again.
All right.
And that's it. The answer is no, I don't think you need to track calories or macros.
Is it harder having a baby who wakes you up at night?
She's been a little rascal this week. You know, like some days you're like, oh, wow, she slept from 7 till 5 or 7 till 7, and you think, this is the dream. And the next day she'll wake up and you think, what's wrong with her? But she's normally just hungry. Like, she just has these growth spurts where she's just desperate for milk, and you put it near and she goes savage on it. But it's definitely changed my routine. If I have a rough night's sleep, I'm not bouncing out of bed and doing a HIIT session straight away. I might take a bit of time to warm up, and it might be late on in the day, or if she's napping in the evening, I'll do it. But I'm still fitting in. I need to prove that you can still have a kid and still be healthy.
Dr. Mia Krieger, who came on this, he's a sleep expert. He came on this podcast to talk. He said that sleep deprivation is a real problem. You, when you're sleep deprived, you crave calories and stuff. Like
oh,
that.
Definitely. And always carbs. I always find carbs, yeah. Because that's another thing. It's the most underestimated thing. Well, hydration is one thing that people don't take seriously for energy and your life and health and stuff. But sleep is so underestimated. And people would rather stay up and watch 2 hours of Netflix than get an extra hour of sleep. And they'd rather, it's that live that rock and roll lifestyle, but it accumulates, isn't it? Like you might have over a few months, those hours are gone. You can never get them back, and it does have an effect on your body, on your hormones, on your energy levels. It's so important that people should focus on the quality of their sleep, and that's why we're at the device situation when we're with the screen time.
Yeah.
It's like we need to evolve and start to go back and think. Let's just get back to having our phones out of the room before smartphones. You have an alarm that can wake you up, and getting a better night's sleep.
Stealing your life, phones and Netflix stealing your life. Okay, you've built what I like about you is watching you grow. You've built a massive empire now. So from the original hanging out your flat window, where I first became aware of you, you've got this like huge empire of all these books, TV show. How many series did you do of your TV show?
I did 3 episodes of Channel 4. It was like a bit of a kind of trial. Pilot kind of thing, but yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that. I transformed some people through my online plan, but we did a TV show around it. So yeah, that was great. That was a couple of years ago. Well, no, last year and the year before. But now I'm mainly focusing online, I think, just with the YouTube.
Well, yeah,
you've
got your YouTube channel, which is huge. How many have you got to 1 million yet? Have you got?
I'm trying. I'm working hard. I'm doing one video a week. I've got about 700,000 subscribers. But the rumor is it takes 5 years to hit 1 million. Then when you hit 1 million, it just goes.
Right.
And you get the algorithm, and it just supports it, and it pushes it, and people will start to see the videos a lot more.
And you get your gold button. When do you know that when you get to 1 million?
I've got my silver play, which is 100,000. You get to the gold one. Yeah, I actually did a collab the other day with a guy called Colin Furze. He's an inventor, and he's got 7 million subscribers, and
wow.
He's got all around his house like loads of gold buttons. I was like, mate, that's amazing. And the next one for him will be a diamond. At 10 million, he'll get a diamond one.
Oh, that's amazing. Your YouTube videos are great, aren't they? Because they're just you messing about, doing some exercise, teaching us how to do it, and do you enjoy doing that sort of stuff?
I love it. It's accessible. So I've got a channel. I've got 700,000 subscribers, but I actually have 2.5 million people a month and view the workout. So you've got like I said, there's school kids doing it with their mums and dads. There's people at university, and I love it. I've now got my notifications on for YouTube because I wasn't actually seeing them, but the comments coming in, it's all around the world. People are seeing the workouts and doing them. So I'm all about free content. Although I've got products, I've got my online plan. I've got my books, which you have to pay for, the cookware, the My Protein, the Gusto, that's all paid stuff. But really what the heart of my business is free content, which is free recipes on Instagram, free workouts. And I love it. I don't really need to do that anymore. I could stop, but I really, really enjoy it. I really love knowing that people somewhere, whether they've got 5 kids or no kids or no money or no gym, that they're working out with me in their home.
Now, I think people know. I think the new thing in the podcasting world, especially, and also in your world, I think people know whether it's authentic or not. And as you say, you'll get copycats coming along now going, how do I monetize what Joe's done in my way? Rather than you, which is going, I just want to make a change and I'm having fun, I'm hanging out my window, and now the empire's grown, and I'm sure you're making plenty of money out of all your products, so you don't need to worry about that. But I think it's the authenticity of it, which is what's so appealing.
Yeah, and you can lose that, and you can let... You can let ego and let numbers and followers and fame and, your bank balance change who you are. But for me, my mission's the same from day one, right? My mission was when I was a personal trainer. Well, I wanted to be a school teacher. I was going to be a PE teacher. That was my ambition. I didn't really fall in love with that. I did it as a few months as a TA and was working in the school. I thought, it's not what I want to do. I now want to be a PT. And my mission was, can I get someone who's out of shape, really unconfident, eating well and exercising? I did that, I achieved that, and then I went online and did the same thing. So my mission hasn't changed. I've managed to make it a business in terms of products, but really at the heart of it, it's what makes me happy, and what really, really fires me up is helping people feel good. And I go on these book tours, and you'll meet a mum who had, obesity or whatever it might have been, and she could have been in a really unhappy relationship, and whatever it is, whether it's my book or my YouTube or the plan, I've helped people, I've really inspired people. And so that, and you could take everything else away from me, but you'd still see me next year doing YouTube videos, doing the same stuff.
Yeah, I Mark and I say that sometimes of this podcast, because we started it off as an Agony Uncle thing, and then we still do that actually, and then we interview people like yourself here. And when we get letters in sometimes from people saying, been stuff. I talk a bit about my mental health problems and stuff, which I've had. And people say, it makes me feel good that you lot are talking about it, and I feel great. Thank you for doing it. And it's worth $1 million, that, isn't
super,
it?
Super, yeah. It's just, really just powerful.
The idea that people are enjoying your stuff and you're actually connecting with them, it's such a lovely feeling.
And it never wears off. You'll have that in years to come, and you're still, it's still as valuable. I love that. I'm a massive believer in gratitude. So I always stop and appreciate what I've got, and I'm always grateful to my audience. So even now, I'll sit on my phone for 2 hours and I'll send voice notes back to people that have sent me, whether it's a message or whether they've bought the book or they've got the plan or whatever it might be. I'm always like, this is so important that I'm grateful and appreciate this. And so whether it's one person or 100 people you can contact, never lose touch of that. Never think, oh, well, I've got 2.5 million followers. It's running itself and it's this big machine, because gratitude and appreciating your audience is so important and it's so valuable. And that's why I believe I'll be around in the next 10 years, because
I am
still passionate and I will still connect with my audience.
You know Tom Allen, the comedian? Do you know him, the bald-headed guy? Always wears a suit on TV. He's very posh sounding. And
I'm probably recognise his face.
You would, yeah. Right. Anyway, whenever he comes on Sunday Brunch, he handwrites us a thank you message personally to me and personally to Simon and the production team. It's unbelievable. He handwrites us a letter.
That's lovely, yeah. It means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Well, in 21 years or whatever. I mean, I've had him on this podcast. I would always invite him
to
everything.
Have you been doing Sunday Brunch for 21 years?
No, I did Soccer M before that, right, for 11. And then 22 years, I think I've been doing it now. Christ.
Yeah, Sunday Brunch is still a great show. I love it.
Thank you very much. You've been on it. Do you enjoy doing it?
Yeah, and I've always wondered, I'd love to come back on. I've just thought at some point I would have been invited, but yeah, it never actually happened again.
Have you? Don't look at me. I don't book.
Who's the booker?
I don't know. I'll get onto them for you straight
away. It's definitely, you know, I said to you earlier on, like that day, it was a really pivotal moment for me, because when I came on Sunday Brunch and you showed some of the Leaning 15 videos, I got 10,000 new followers that day.
Did you?
And that was a massive boost. That was like 6 months worth of growth, so it just really kind of put me on the map and got people talking about it. So thanks for that opportunity.
Thanks for coming on. It's really good when people come on the show, because they always, like, any bands who come on, their record always goes up, and any authors come on, their book goes up. It's a really lovely way of actually getting people to sell their product as well as they come on and have a good time, which is the most important.
It's a great format, isn't it?
We just have fun, I think, and I think that's what people
just
like.
Relaxed, yeah, I love it.
You're doing a tour, an evening with Joe Wicks. What is that, the book tour? Is that something else?
Oh, I've done a book tour around the Veggie Book this year, and we went to like independent bookshops, which is great, around, you know, places you wouldn't necessarily go, like Shropshire and Wales and Ely Cathedral and stuff, which is amazing. But this is the Evening Standard got in touch. They do these every year. It's a ticket event, but I'm not getting paid for it. I'm just going as a kind of guest speaker,
right,
to talk about like entrepreneurship and my journey, to hopefully inspire the audience and also talk about my success and top tips to kind of health and fitness.
Oh,
success.
Cool. Where is it?
I don't know exactly where it is.
If it's at a good venue, you should say, like, I'm only doing it if I can play my guitar.
It's coming soon, yeah, I should do.
Turn up with your amp and your guitar. And they go, Joe, tell us about health. No, I've got a song. I've just written this.
I'd love that. People keep saying that to me. I should set up a... Because I do a lot of David Brent impressions. I'm a massive fan in The Office. You know, he grabs the guitar. Yeah. He does like Free Love on the Free Love Freeway and stuff. But I'm not that confident.
Have you written any songs yet?
No, I haven't. I've sung like little silly songs to India and just messed around with it, but I've never physically put pen to paper.
You've got to write a song about health. That's what you've got to do, and just release it.
Get
see
it on
what
Spotify,
happens.
Yeah.
Whey protein, that's another one of your things you're doing at the moment. What is it?
Yeah, so I've been, I've always used whey protein. It's a good supplement. I always say, always focus on real food. So if you can invest in some, you know, organic meat or some really good veg and some, you know, always focus on your nutrition. But as a supplement, whey is a good product, because you can have it in your shake as a post-workout shake to kind of just top up your protein levels, and you can have it in like overnight oats or protein pancakes. It's quite versatile. So I've got now a new partnership with myprotein.com, where we've got whey protein and vegan protein. And yeah, I'm just making it a bit more friendly. It's not all about meatheads and bulking up and getting all hench and stuff.
Yeah.
It used to be a bit of a misconception, but it's a good product to cook with, because you can take a banana and egg and stick a little bit of scoop of protein and make that a really nutritious breakfast. So
what is whey protein though?
Whey protein is just a byproduct of dairy, so it's kind of it would be waste, and someone thought, well, that's like a, you know, like curds and whey.
Yeah.
It's like a byproduct of the dairy and the cheese and that kind of stuff. And they powder it, and then it contains about 20-25 grams of protein. So it's the equivalent of like eating a chicken breast. And if you've got a small appetite, or you're a vegetarian and you just think, oh, I'd like to get a bit of extra protein, it's a good supplement to have. And there's a lot of research behind it. A lot of, you know, athletes use it and stuff. So it's definitely not like a a meal replacement. I would never say have a shake instead of a meal. I would say have your meal, get all your nutrition lined up, and then as a little extra, you know, like a scoop of that with maybe an omega-3 fish oil or a multivitamin would be a good like balance just to put in the mix. But it's definitely not, it's not essential for fat loss, it's not essential for bodybuilding, but it does have benefits.
So have you got this like a major team around you now? You must have. How do you find time to do everything? You've got so much on.
People think that there's a massive empire, but I'll be real honest with you, my content team is my iPhone and me and my brother Nicky, who's like head of kind of, he's like digital content and helps with my in terms of marketing and promoting the books and stuff. He's really good with like the paid media and stuff. And then I've got my little cousin Luca, who's community manager, who kind of just, he keeps an eye on things and replies to questions and certain things. But the real deep engagement stuff is me, because it's my voice, my video messages is me. You know, you can't emulate that. And so that's my team. And then I've got an office in Richmond with about 20 staff who are, they're called support coaches. So when you sign up to the online plan, you get live chat where you can communicate with someone and they can give you motivation and keep you on track. So that's the biggest overhead I've got in terms of the cost. This is the office and the support, the manpower. But it's such a valuable part of my business, because you don't just get sold the product and you have no one to talk to. Like we're a personable brand. And if you've had a bad day and you want to get some motivation, you can message in and we will talk you back onto the plan and get you back on track. And I don't think you get that with another diet company, you know. So I invested heavily in that, in terms of the office and the staff, but I think it's really helped grow the business.
But don't you have a business partner who sits with a white cat, stroking it, going, "Joe, we're going to make 10 gazillion pounds this year if we don't." No, you don't.
No,
have
I'm really sorry.
You're doing it all yourself.
It's me and my brother, and we sit and we make decisions. And I've got a commercial manager who deals with like my book deals and events and stuff and any kind of deals. But I turn so much down in terms of brand stuff, because I'd rather have my own products, so like my own books, my own cookware, than promote you know, tea or energy drinks that, you know, and the money they throw at you, it's like I just don't even want to hear anymore, because it's hard. It's hard turning down money. It's hard when you think they offered me $100,000 to do a few posts, but it's just not, it's not fitting with my ethos and my philosophy and my message. And I had a really big deal with a supermarket chain, and they said to me, "Right, this is what we're going to do." And I wanted to do like pestos and grains and, you know, your Jamie Oliver type stuff. And they came back to me with ready meals and sandwiches and microwave dinners. And because they know that's what's going to make the money.
Yeah.
And that's how they can guarantee you all this money. And I said, "Look, I'm walking away. I don't want to do it." And I'm really, really glad I made that decision, because I've now got a partnership with Gusto, which I'm obsessed with. It's meal recipe boxes delivered to your door. And I love it. I believe in it. It's like a recipe card, all the ingredients delivered to your door. You and your family can eat healthier. And I'm never going to make as much money from that, but it's, in the long run, it's truly what I believe in, which is getting people cooking.
Yeah.
So I've walked away from that, and people, you know, will say, "You're a sellout, you're doing protein, you're doing everything, you're sticking name and everything," but they forget, they don't know the things I turned down in the background. And so I'm more proud of those decisions.
But how can that be a sellout? I don't understand it.
Because people by nature, like, people like you to be successful, but not too successful.
Exactly,
like, in America, they'd be loving it. You're an entrepreneur, you're smashing it. But I think in the UK, people kind of, they're like proud of you to a point and think you smashed it. But then when you get too big and you get other opportunities, then, like I said, people, if you've got an opportunity to go into partnership with, you know, a really awesome company doing good things in the food space, or the biggest protein company in the world, pretty much, why would you not do that? And it's all part of the mission, which is getting you eating healthy food. And it's like, it's just a shortcut, so you haven't got to go food shopping. Like, in an ideal world, I want everyone to buy my book, go food shopping and cook recipes.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to do that, why not give them a little shortcut?
It's a tough thing for everyone who's in the media. You get offered all sorts, I get offered all sorts of things, and it's deciding which ones to do and which ones not. And often that it comes down to, would I use this product, or is this about me? I did an advert once with my kids, and I loved it because I'm a single dad, and I thought, this is really nice, because I thought dads were badly represented on television at the time. We're always losers, or we were always the guys who you know, the dad's always bad, but the stepdad's always good and stuff like that. And I thought, no, people can see that I actually do cook food for my children, which I do. I've always cooked healthy food for my kids. I think that's important.
Have you ever done anything you regretted, like a brand deal or an advert? Or
I've done quite a few. I don't want to talk about them.
I've done
loads, because you get offered them and you think, oh, I do this, and then. And sometimes you get this, you turn up and you think, oh, why am I doing this? This is really not what I thought it was. And
yeah.
I'm, I've, I'll be really honest with you, I've turned down so much more than I've accepted because of that. I get worried about it. And I don't know why, because a lot of people on TV just go, I'll do everything.
There's that kind of thing. It comes and goes. Cash in. But I always think, I visualize myself going to the day. One of the first ones I'd done was this Uncle Ben thing. And remember, I used to throw the Uncle Ben's across the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I was using it anyway. I was going, Uncle Ben's in the mic, and I was walloping it across the room into my mic. So they contacted me and said, oh, let's do a little commercial thing. And it was just like YouTube pre-rolls and Facebook ads. I did it, and it was fine. But they marketed all over the channels, and some people that didn't follow you were just like, who's this prat? He's so annoying. But I kind of accepted that was it. But I was using it, and I still use Uncle Ben's voice now. But I always try and visualize myself turning up that day, filming it, saying the script, talking about my channels. And if it makes me cringe and I think I can bear to do that, then the money I can just turn down without even thinking about it. That's what I go with every time. And is it part of the bigger mission? And I believe all the things I've turned down are the reason I've got some awesome company like Disney want to talk to me.
Ah, brilliant.
And like bigger brands that are kind of doing good things. And so I can now do family fitness because I've been doing the school's fitness thing. So you turn the little things down, but one day the bigger opportunities will come because of it. Your brand equity is stronger.
Yeah, exactly. And people who say you're selling out are desperate to sell out in their own way. They just can't. It's not a problem to do the stuff as long as you believe in it. And at which point, might I just stop and do a quick read for our sponsor, Joe?
Yeah, go for it.
I've got a cooker here, which is the hot water tap. Have you got one of those?
Oh, they contacted me about sending me one of them. Yeah, instant hot tap.
Yeah, and it's a game changer. Filtered water, yeah, especially for your cooking, because you can just whack straight hot water straight in immediately. So
is it safe with little kids and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, because you have to press it twice to turn it, so to actually activate it.
It's quite industrial, I like that.
Yeah, it's good. And I've had one of these for ages and I absolutely love it. I've not had a kettle for years. So this sponsor is, this podcast is sponsored by Cooker, spelt Quooker, pronounced Cooker. The amazing patented invention delivers instantaneous 100 degrees boiling water plus hot, cold and even filtered cold water all from a kitchen tap, saving water, energy, money and time and far safer than a kettle. No kitchen is complete without its Cooker. Pronounced Cooker, spelt Quooker, the tap that does it all. Visit cooker.co.uk for details. We were struggling on this podcast for a long time, Joe, discussing whether, just your point there, whether to do sponsorship or not, because we love our podcast and we don't want to make it look cheap. And then doing a partnership with Cooker, though, we've got Beer 52 as well. They're both brands that we like, so we're like, let's do it, but we still don't know whether it's the right thing to do. I still feel really uncomfortable by talking about stuff like that. So
I know,
like,
but I think, look, at the end of the day, when you build an audience, that's the thing. Even with Instagram, like, Instagram's not a social media platform, it's a marketing platform. And Facebook's the same. You know, you build an audience and then they want to charge you to advertise and boost content, but ultimately, you know, I think people are desensitized, but it's just there's advertisements everywhere. But, you know, every now and again, slipping one in, it's not the end of the world, is it?
No. Well, no. And as I say, if you like the product, it's good. Anything you've got coming up soon then? You're going to do your Ween in 15. That's going to be a book, is it? Are you going to turn that into a book, do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be a book. So I've got a book deal to do two books. One's called Ween in 15, which is baby and toddler recipes.
Brilliant.
And then the next one will be kind of like children up to kind of teenagers and family. Because it's all about, I want to get kids exercising at school and eating well at home. And even, you know, from the infancy of babies and children, because it is important. If your child has a bad upbringing, their food, they might have their palate and their kind of interest in food might be really kind of different. So it's about getting people from childhood right up to adulthood feeling good and exercising and eating well.
Got to be careful with it. You should do it, by the way. But look at Jamie Oliver. I can't believe how well he's doing with that stuff. The criticism he gets for wanting kids to be healthy is like, I'm always so astonished. Every time he goes, I think the kids should eat proper food. Oh, we hate Jamie Oliver trying to stop kids from eating junk. It's like, the guy's brilliant, what he's trying to do.
Yeah, it's hard. I love Jamie.
Do you know Jamie?
Yeah, I love Jamie.
He's brilliant,
isn't
he?
I've always watched him. I used to watch him, you know, The Naked Chef, and I love his shows. And he's kind of a bit of a mentor to me now. Like, we chat, and he gives me really good advice.
Brilliant.
Like you said, you know, he's made good decisions and bad decisions, but he's very humble. And I do believe he's a man that's driven and he's passionate about helping people.
He genuinely is. I always find it so astonishing. You sit and talk to him, you go, God, this guy's... Because by now, if I was him, I'd have pulled out. He doesn't need to do it. But he's still a hard worker. Yeah, but he's got all his businesses which he's running, and sometimes the press criticise him and stuff for that. But then he's trying to do his make children healthy, the And people go, whoa, what's he doing interfering with school meals? It's like, no, it would be really good if kids ate
people just,
broccoli.
Some people just don't like change and don't like, you know, helping. But at the end of the day, Jamie Oliver's, his efforts come from a good place. Like, he's a family man with kids. Yeah. And like me, I want to know that my children are going to grow up in a school system where fitness is really taken seriously. Because imagine a day where it's just not even in the curriculum and it's getting squeezed out and, you know, you're left with a generation of really unhealthy, unhappy kids. It's really, really worrying me that it's going to happen. So I'm trying to just push that online thing, get the school's fitness up in the
Yeah, brilliant. Well done for doing that. That's absolutely amazing. Yeah, that's really good stuff. And as we all know that doing fitness, well, I know that I always, you know, having, let's say, I don't want to bang on about it, but suffering from mental health issues, it's the exercise, which always is the one thing. The best relief. Always, and I say to any of my friends who ever go through sad times, eat well, be a bit selfish, spend some time with yourself, and exercise. They're the three main things before you start looking at anything else. You know,
yeah, they're the last things you want to do, though. Like my dad, my dad suffers a little bit, and the last thing he wants to do is go and exercise. He wants to sit on the sofa and eat chocolate bars. But he always says, "Joe, I've just been for a run, and I feel amazing." It's transformative, isn't it? And so, always try your best just to break the cycle, and that's why I believe like a morning routine of exercise can transform your mindset and your outlook and your relationships and your career. Like it really is that powerful, you know.
So you think people should get up, do 20 minutes a hit, eat a nice breakfast, go to work, that sort of thing?
Yeah, and how difficult is that? You know, you can do it at home. You don't need to get to the gym. And so I think the person I am, if I wake up and don't exercise, have a naff breakfast, and then versus me getting up, exercising, and having a really I'm a different person. I'm more patient. I'm more tolerant. I'm happier. I'm like I said, I'm achieving more. My success and my growth and my career is growing because of the lifestyle choices I have, and that's why, like I said, that's what motivates me to keep living this lifestyle that I do.
Perfect. All right. Thank you so much for doing the podcast. I've got questions to ask everybody, so I'll quickly ask them for you as well. What one piece of advice would you like to give our listeners that has been invaluable to your life?
This is a kind of motto that I live by, and I actually finished my graduation speech with this. It's three simple rules, right?
Yeah.
Really simple. Work hard, have fun, and be nice. If you do those three things every day, you know, and that can be in your relationships, the people you meet at work, the people you pass in the street. Just be nice to people, and you're gonna live a much better life. Live in a positive mind space rather than negative and judging and critiquing. Just be nice to people.
Yeah.
That's it. That's my best piece of advice that I learned at quite a young age, really. I'm only 33, but I feel like I've got the wisdom already of a 70-year-old.
It's good. What's it like being famous?
So being recognised for me is being recognised for helping people feel good is actually something I'm really proud about. So when I meet someone on the street, if they recognise me, and it's not all the time I'm getting stopped, but when I do, it's always a positive interaction because it's a woman saying they've done my plan, or a guy saying I've never cooked and I'm cooking every day from your book. You know, it's always a positive experience. I'm not just famous for being famous or on a TV show or whatever. So I'm really proud of that achievement, but I'm also, it reminds me to be humble and to not let it affect my ego. You know, like when I'm out, I don't think, oh, you know, those people recognize me. This is great. And I just, it really hasn't changed me as a person. I've got the same friends, same lifestyle, really.
When was the moment that you looked at your brother and went, I actually think this is going to be something. This is moving in the right direction.
It's such an incremental thing. Like little moments, like I'd appear in, you know, like a magazine, or going on Sunday brunch was quite a big moment. And then there was getting the sign and the book deal was another big moment. And I did a world record hit session in Hyde Park. We had 4,500 people training in the park, which is wonderful because I used to struggle to get 10 people there. So there's little moments in my career that have kind of, I've realised, wow, like we're doing some really good stuff. And, you know, forgetting about the stats and the followers and the kind of books sold, actually what we've done is we've probably influenced like millions of people to cook. And not many people can say that. Even TV chefs that have been around for 10, 15 years may never have had an impact as big as that. So because of the digital age we live in, I've been able to just like go global with my channels and push out all this content that truly is adding value to people's lives. And that's why I've grown, and that's why my community is getting bigger and bigger.
What's the biggest mistake you've made?
The biggest mistake I've made is, I'd say, is staying in a relationship that I shouldn't have been in for so long. I think, you know, the fear of leaving, the fear of not being loved again, it can paralyze you and hold you in a position where you can spend years there. So I was with a girl from the age of 19 to 29, and I kind of, You know, when you quit and stay, it was like that. I quit and stayed, and by the end of it, I wasn't being my true self. I wasn't being as kind as I could have been. I wasn't being as patient and tolerant. So don't get to that point. Don't fear. Don't think that you're never going to meet someone else, like, because you will, and you learn from your mistakes and you learn through relationships, and the next one you go into is even more amazing. You know, so yeah, be confident. And even with jobs as well, if it's a career, don't stay in it for too long. Like, believe that you can change and do something else, because you can.
I suppose don't be scared of being on your own as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's a massive thing, because a lot of guys and friends and myself, we break up but we go back because we panic and we go back to what was comfortable, and that's just a common kind of behavior. You've got to break that. But yeah, you getting used to being on your own and knowing that you are going to meet someone is really important.
Any life hacks?
This is it. Making exercise a part of your morning ritual. So if you study some of the best entrepreneurs, some of them, you know, whether it's Richard Branson, Tony Robbins, Tim Ferriss, you know, anybody that's really successful in business and life, they exercise is a massive part of their life. And there's a reason. It's transformative in the way you focus, your alertness, your sense of self-confidence and achievement. So if you can do 10 minutes a day of exercise, it really will change your life and your direction.
Have you read Tim Ferriss's book?
4-Hour Work Week?
No, the one where he interviews all the entrepreneurs.
When he gets like a bit of information.
Basically what you've said there is true.
And you see running things.
Every single one of them, they all get up in the morning, they have a morning routine which involves an exercise of some description. Yeah,
so important. Yeah.
Usually meditation as well, a lot of them do. Can you recommend a book?
So I'm a massive fan of like autobiographies, and this one called Open by Andre Agassi. Have you ever read that?
No, everyone, I should read it because people quote it constantly.
Yeah, like, I hate tennis, you know, I'm not into it. I don't, but I got this book and I read it, and it's just an amazing story of, you know, a champion mindset and determination to win and keep training and putting the effort. But he hated the sport. He had a really bad relationship with his dad. And so I just found it, I couldn't put it down. That was a brilliant book. And another one I also enjoyed was Scar Tissue by Anthony Kiedis.
Right.
He's a lead singer of
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Them two books are phenomenal. Yeah. Really, really good.
What sport did you play? Were you football or?
I did a little bit of cross country, like a bit of running. But my main kind of sport as a teenager was football. And, you know, I'd done soccer. Did you watch it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, I scored a penalty then at Old Trafford, but I was so...
Just throw that in.
So nervous.
Just throw that
Well,
in.
I got a bench, so I only played 15 minutes, but I loved it. I was playing against Cantona and...
Were you a contender as a kid, as a footballer? What position did you play?
I played right wing. I was an average footballer. I was just super fit and I could pass the ball, but my brother Nicky was actually a pretty good player. But no, it's more just for social and for fun, really.
Have you got a clothing range coming? Have I read that somewhere?
So with MyProtein, we're doing a supplement range, and then we're also starting to do some kind of really awesome products like protein bars and another thing is going to be like nut butters and things. But second thing they do is clothing. So yeah, we're working on a body coach, just like your basic leggings and kit and stuff for guys and girls. So yeah, it's all part of, I only want to do things that I've got a right to do. Like I wear Nike and Adidas in all my videos.
Yeah.
I've got no loyalty to any brand. I'm not in partnership with any. So why not just wear my own stuff? You know, why not have my own stuff that's kind of cool and comfortable, and you know, if people like it, they can have a little look online.
Final question. What is the meaning of life?
The meaning of life is connection. And what I mean by that is, I'm my most happiest when I've got all my friends around me, when I've got my family with me, whether it's like going on a ski trip for the weekend, or I'm taking Indy and Rosie to Brighton for the day, like just being with friends and family. So if you took away all the stuff that I've accumulated, whether it's, you know, your Apple Watch, your iPhone, your bike, your guitar, and you removed all that, all the physical things we put in our lives, that's so irrelevant. And so what I mean is that relationships, whether it's your mum, your brother, your girlfriend, that's what we're here for. Because without that, you're really lonely, really isolated. And so, yeah, that's the meaning of life, relationships. And also helping other people feel good.
Definitely. I think that's what happens when people are on their deathbed. They care about relationships.
Always look back and say, you know, I was good to the people I met, and I was kind. And I, you know, you never regret, oh, I wish I worked more. I wish I had more guitars or more cars. Like, you don't. You wish you had, you know, yeah, like more time with the people you loved. It's all about time. So we're here for such a short amount of time. Yeah. So keep your family close. And some cultures, you know, like in India and certain places, that they have their parents live with them forever. They never push them away. Whereas we kind of, you get to a point where like you see them every few weeks or every few months. But it's I really try and bring my family together, whether it's, you know, dinners or coming around for like a a little party. We have like summer party just to bring people together and remind us that regardless of everyone else around us, we're a little family, we're a unit, and we need to stick together and look after each other.
Joe, thank you so much for doing this podcast today.
Thanks, mate. I really enjoyed it, and I'll definitely listen to some of the previous episodes.
Yeah,
to open my mind and get some more knowledge.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Cheers, mate. See you soon.
That was Joe Wicks. Thoroughly enjoyed my conversation with him. Lovely fella. As I say, I think he's got a great understanding of health and fitness for a modern person, basically.
He understands that not everyone has 2 hours to go and, you know.
And you don't have to. And he also understands that people want to eat burgers and chips. So if you go into his meal plans, or not in the veggie one, obviously, but if you go into his meal plan, you can actually eat proper food.
Yeah.
It's not just all, just sort of, you look at every day and go, oh God, I can't be bothered. This diet is horrible. Or, you know, one of those ridiculous things where they have milkshake diets. That's got to be the worst diet ever.
Like the old swim fast.
Oh God, can you imagine that? You get to lunch, you go, I'm having a milkshake.
To wear a pair of really big trousers on the adverts. He goes, this is what I used to look like.
Must be, I mean, that must be horrific. Or the calorie. That's counting. The word I'm looking at. Calorie counting stuff. Right, I mean, it just feels hard, that sort
of
stuff.
They used to do that because it felt like a thing. It felt like a process, and it felt like a system of doing something. And actually, he's proving you don't need that. He's just
you can actually live normal life. It's just changing your lifestyle. That's what it's about. Which is what I'm trying to do with the intermittent fasting, is just change the lifestyle. And I've been doing it for quite a long time now, and I don't mind it. I feel quite good about it.
I agree with him as well. A little bit of exercise in the morning goes a long way during the rest of the day. Because also you've had the exercise, you're functioning better during the day, you're a bit more focused. And then as it creeps to bedtime, you're thinking, I'm pretty tired now.
Yeah. The only one thing I would say is children often don't appreciate your routines. They don't. They decide that your routine's crap and they just want to do what they want to do. That's often the problem with these things. But yeah, fit it in around you. Lovely chat that. And I thoroughly enjoyed his company. As we say, we've got a few sponsors. So we've got Beer 52 is one of our sponsors on this podcast now. This month is Career Month. If you want to get a free case of beer, what do you think of this one, Mark? We've this been drinking this one.
I love this. And my brother listened to the last podcast. Steph listened to the podcast last week and complained that we were slurping too much. And he got annoyed that my jaw clicks when I crunch things. Because we had the snack.
Could he hear your jaw crunch?
Yeah.
So if you want a free crate of beer, crate, that sounds a lot. No, it's eight cans, stroke box. Bottles, a box of beer. Yeah. It is eight, isn't it?
I think it was like eight or nine.
Yeah,
like
two
that.
A week, isn't it? I think that's how it works out. If you want one, you pay the postage and packaging, which is $5.95. Go to beer52.com/lovejoy, beer as in B-E-R, B-E-E-R, 52, .com, 52 as in the number, slash lovejoy, as in
people going, we tried to get onto their website, but we couldn't get it.
Because they misspelled beer, B-E-R, B-E-E-R, 52. We're also sponsored by the lovely people at Cooker, spelt Quooker. But pronounced Cooker, who get boiling hot water, instant boiling water. It's just one of my favourite all-time gadgets I've had. I love it. I can't just think it's brilliant. I always show off when people come round. Would you like a cup of tea? They go, I'd like
it's your main thing.
I'd like a coffee. You sure you can't have a cup of tea instead? No, I want coffee. Instant then. Can you have instant? Because I want to show you my tap working. Hot water.
Big tap.
I live in the future. It's so good. Mark, you like it, don't you?
I do.
Mark likes it so much, he wrote a jingle about it. This is the jingle here.
It's my ode to Cooker.
Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q-U. Turn on the cooker and instantly make a brew. Turn on cooker spelled with a Q U. Turn on the cooker, hot water for vegetables too.
Yes, the beauty of hot water instantly from the tap.
That's it now, isn't it?
That is it for this week's show. We'll be back very shortly with another special of some description, or it might be a mailbag. For the time being, we'll see you all very soon. Have a great time. Peace and love, Joy.
Bye.